Okay, good evening. I'd like to welcome everyone to the Wednesday, October 28th, 2019 meeting of the Oceano Community Services District. I'll call the meeting to order. May we have a roll call, please?
Director Gibson?
Here.
Director Villa?
Here.
Director Apple?
Here.
Vice President White?
Here.
President Austin?
Here. Will you please join me in the flag salute? Ready? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, thank you. Brings us to agenda review.
President Austin, members of the board, a couple just quick things on the agenda. There was 7A published on the agenda, and we won't be having a presentation by Central Coast Blue. That was just from last meeting. We forgot to delete it, so sorry about that. The second thing was there's three addendums to this agenda, and they've all been printed and are on the table, and they're also on our website. One is for item 8A for cash disbursements. We have the payroll schedule included, and I didn't have that ready in time before I left for vacation, so we did it yesterday. And then the other two are for item 9A. One is the ordinance 2009-1 from the Integrated Waste Management Authority, and the other is the staff report from the July 10th meeting at the IWMA. So those are both printed and in front of you today. So those are the only things.
All right, thank you. I'm wondering, before we go to closed session, I don't know if we could...
We need to approve the agenda. I make a motion we approve the agenda as modified.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, so what I wanted to say is I see that we have the commander of the sheriff's office here. So I wondered if we could move his update so he doesn't have to sit and wait.
Yes, I would certainly support that.
Okay. So I'd like to welcome Commander Manuelli from the San Luis Obispo County Sheriff's Department.
Very good. Thank you for moving me forward. I'd greatly appreciate that. Michael Manuelli, Sheriff South Station Commander. First, let me introduce myself, if we have a moment. I've been with the Sheriff's Office now for 30 years. I've worked patrol for just about everywhere in the county that we have. I've also worked other specialty assignments. I've been a patrol supervisor. I've been a detective sergeant. I've been the internal affairs commander, the Coast Station commander, and now I've come over to the South Station. I'm the commander here at the South Station. So with that introduction, I want you to know that I am generally available right across the parking lot. I've also given my business card with my contact information there should you have anything I can help with. I will try to attend your meetings on a regular basis. I believe you have two a month. I don't know that you need me twice a month, but should you need me twice a month, let me know. I'll try to make it to one or both of those meetings when I have time available. At the Coast Station, I had up to 14 meetings a month. Here at the South Station, I think I'm at four, which is a good number for me. I generally like to present information as to the calls for service, the reports, and then give you a breakdown on those general reports and answer any questions that you might have for me. If you'd like something different, feel free to ask, and I'll do what I can to accommodate those. So with that, if you're ready, I will give you my report for July. July, the South Station as a whole took 2,290 calls for service. Oceano accounted for 533 of those calls for service. Compared to last year, we had 506 calls for service. That's an increase of about 5%. Really statistically not trackable. Napomo accounted for 1,093 calls for service. From those calls for service, there were a total of 350 reports taken. Oceano accounted for 73 Napomo for 187. Oceano, last year we had 82, again a drop, so not a lot of difference there. Breaking some of those calls out, which might be important to the community and to the board, there were 7 calls for service regarding assault and battery. Most of those were domestic violence. I did notice that we had 1 out-of-control juvenile, but I didn't see any trends that would indicate danger to the community. We had 44 disturbance calls. 3 of those resulted in reports. 2 of those disturbance results in the arrest of individuals for public intoxication. The other one was related to domestic violence. We had 3 burglars reported. 2 of those generated reports. Suspect entered a garage and stole property, and then items were taken from an unlocked vehicle. It was reported as a burglary, but items taken from an unlocked vehicle are generally just a theft. We had 6 thefts, calls for service, and 1 generated report. It was a purse stolen out of an unlocked vehicle. If we lock our vehicles, we can help reduce those thefts, a simple solution. Vandalism, quite a bit of vandalism. We had 9 calls for service generating 8 reports. Somebody went around smashing a lot of vehicle windows. I think a total of 6 of those vandalism reports were smashed windows. No information on suspect at this time. We also had damage to a vehicle paint and a vandalism to a house. Subject also started an arson fire there in that same yard. It turned out to be a known subject and some kind of dispute between the residents there. Then we had graffiti at a residence and then gang graffiti at Oceano Elementary School, which is disheartening, and we'll keep an eye on that. 6 trespassing, no reports, no phone scams, and 18 calls for service regarding suspicious circumstances. These are generally the calls that the public calls in and says, hey, something's going on, I don't know what it is, but it's not right, and we get out there and investigate. And a lot of times we see that these reports are not really criminal in nature, but there are a few times when they are, and that's why we encourage and appreciate these calls for service, because the community is our eyes and ears out there and helps us to find these things. In this particular case, we had 3 reports. One of them was turned out to be a neighborhood disturbance. Other ones, deputies were dispatched to an elderly female attempting to get into a residence. Turns out she was an at-risk missing person, and we were able to reunite her where she needed to be. And that's my report for the month, and I'm open to questions should the board have any.
Are you all ready for Labor Day weekend?
We are ready for Labor Day weekend. Yes, it's gonna be a busy one. As everybody knows, it is the end of the summer holiday, the summer season. But we don't anticipate too many problems in our area. You'll probably see more problems, and we're gearing up for areas in like Avila Beach, Nacimiento Lake, and those type areas. And then we also patrol Lopez Lake. We do extra staffing there, because it does bring in a large crowd.
Thank you.
Refresh my memory, is there a special number to call for reporting graffiti, or is it just the regular
There is a special number for that. I'm not going to be able to recall it off my memory. Yeah, we do have graffiti removal is done by our volunteer patrol. We have a graffiti truck. They have sandblasters, and they have a paint mixing machine, and they can spray paint public properties, private properties that is exposed to the public with that person's permission. And I'll have to get you that phone number. I'm sorry, I don't have it.
Okay, that's all right.
I don't know. Is there any cost related to it, like
no.
If it's private?
No, but again, we won't do private work if it isn't impacting the thing. We're not going to go in and just paint somebody's house. It has to be significantly impacting the community, but no cost.
I wonder if we could get that number a little something on our website as well, in connection with our 311 and stuff.
Could one just call the station and get the number, maybe? Like,
I can walk across and get it. Very easily.
I mean, like tomorrow or not right now.
Oh, okay. Now. Yeah, I could get it to you.
And I know for customers that do call, there's an online portal too. So I know that's how we sometimes report it.
Yes.
Instead of, but yeah, we'll get both for you guys.
Great. Yeah.
Great.
Thank you, thank you.
I know you answered some of my questions about fireworks at the advisory council meeting, but
yes.
I just was wondering if you'd been able to get any more information about that big group that was closing off Paso Robles Street.
Specifically as to who it was, or?
Or what the outcome was of that. I think you were going to go check with the officers that have been on duty, as I recall.
Right. I don't have any more information to do it. It was observed during routine patrol by them, and no one was contacted, cited, or any additional information gathered there.
Okay. And before July 4th, the officer that had come to a meeting said that unless the deputies actually saw the fireworks being shot off, they couldn't take action against a particular person. I was wondering if citizens took video and provided an address that here's video, here are the people. Is that something you could take action on, or does it really need to be like in person with the deputies?
It depends. So infractions have to be witnessed by us. We have to see it happen. And same with misdemeanors. Now, we can file on misdemeanor and felonies if we have enough information to get charges. And again, we require probable cause to take enforcement action, and the courts require beyond a reasonable doubt, which is a much higher standard. So that all adds to it. We include that in the report, and if we can prove that, we can file, and then the DA can determine if they want to prosecute or not.
So
it does help to have it, but it's not conclusive as to how we'll take action in that situation.
Are illegal fireworks an infraction or a misdemeanor?
It depends on the size.
Oh.
It depends on the violation. The ones that go up into the air and go boom are generally felony. And it
felony.
Goes,
oh.
Yes, generally okay. Felony. And it goes on weight and the type of them.
Okay.
And then we talked about Oceano not having restrictions as to when safe and sane fireworks could be discharged. And that still is the case.
Thank you.
Is there anyone in the public have any questions for the commander? Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Great first meeting. I look forward to meeting with you again.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, then we'll go back up to our closed session. Would you like to announce that, Mr. Henry?
Yes. Pursuant to Government Code Section 54957B1, the district will move to closed session on general manager appointment. And I remind public comment.
Okay, is there any public comment on our closed session item? Okay, seeing none, we will adjourn to closed session.
I think you have enough handouts, Chris.
Okay, I'm going to call the meeting back to order. And may we have a report from closed session? Legal counsel,
yes.
Mr.
Madam President, the report out of closed session is that there is no reportable action.
Thank you. Moves takes us up to public comment for items that are not on the agenda. Is there anyone here that would like to address the board on matters of interest within the jurisdiction of the district not on the agenda? If you wish to, your time is limited to 3 minutes. Yes, come forward.
Hello, Brenda Lowe from Oceano. I simply had a question. I have lost track of the timeline about when that survey that was going to give us information about the likelihood of a ballot initiative passing, when we might be expecting to hear results of that.
Okay, thank you. Is there any other public comment? Okay, seeing none on the survey, we're just still... Do we know about when it's? We don't really have a date yet, but it's in the works being done.
Madam President, I think the survey is in the works. I think it's probably relatively soon.
Relatively soon.
Okay. I thought after Labor Day.
After Labor Day.
After Labor Day, yeah.
Sometime maybe right after Labor Day. Okay, that brings us to 7B, our staff reports. Field Supervisor Tony Maricino.
Good evening, Board. Tony Maricino. For the month of July, for the 311 app, we had 17 pickups. As for the previous few weeks, we've had our daily rounds, our samples, 6 work orders, 4 USAs, 8 customer service calls, 3 after-hour call-outs. One was due to a neighbor shutting off a neighbor's water. The other one, the lift station, went down at 12:30 in the morning. Power shut off, and it didn't reset itself, so we had to go over there and reset the lift station motors. We had a Bell Ridge, a house on Bell Ridge. The line broke due to the customer digging. So as for all the 3 12-inch valves on Paso, they're all completely installed and paved back. We had a SSO on Paso on a lateral at the property line, which downstream, where it ties into the main, it's slightly offset, and debris got caught in there. This is the first time this location had a backup and an SSO, so we will be monitoring that and until we can get in there and fix it. All right, we're still continuing to do meter changeouts. The water line on Highway 1 has currently been shut off, and they have lowered it, but they still got, you know, some work to do with restraints, and we got a whole long process for back teeing it, flushing it, making sure it's all good to go. And as for the Highway 1 relocation, we had to install a bypass to 2 customers because of the location of the 12-inch valve didn't accommodate them. We had to install an 8-inch valve on Railroad this past Sunday due to the fact that the sewer line lowering actually was conflicting with, we have a valve cluster, and the potential of that valve cluster could cave in because of the trenching was deep, and they can't get the shoring in there until the depth is kind of trenched quite a bit. So we had to go in there and install an 8-inch valve so the cluster could get removed until they get the sewer line lowered and relocated. The reason we had to work on Sunday is because you have Povey over there, and they're a big water user. To accommodate them, they shut down on Sundays. So we were only out there for 3.5 hours. It went really well. Also, the 12-inch on Dolphin has been lowered, and basically all they have to do is restrain the 12-inch pipe now, and then they can backfill it, and we'll bring it back up online. Concreted the 8-inch valve on Railroad that we just installed. We had to repair a service line going to a customer due to the customer breaking the angle stop. So that will all be billed to the customer due to the tampering. And all the paving, which I already stated, is complete on Paso. Any questions?
I do. How much of what you just mentioned has to do with the 13th and Highway 1 project?
Everything on Railroad, Dolphin, Paso, it all has to do with it.
Okay.
Basically starts on 15th and goes all the way down to where the trailer parks are stored, the trailer homes are stored for the Pismo Coast Village,
yeah,
down by the levee.
Okay.
So, yeah. Yes, Railroad is part of the drainage. Dolphin's all part of the drainage, the 3 12-inch valves, the bypass for the customers, yes.
Yeah, so that's the start of that big project to remove the flooding challenge.
Yes, it
is. At 13th and...
Yes, yeah. It is. Get the utilities relocated so they can bring in the drainage.
Do you know when they're going to start any more of the project?
They're working on it currently.
Okay, so when people see the road blocked and everything, that's what's happening.
Correct. That's why Highway 1 is getting a lot of traffic control over there. It's due to the drainage project. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. Let's see. general manager's not here, chief's not here, and we've already heard from Commander McDonald. So is there any public comment on the staff reports? Report. Oh, okay, then we'll go on to the board of directors and outside committee reports. We'll start from this end. Director Gibson, do you have any?
Nothing to report.
Director Villa?
None.
Director Report?
Yes, I attended the Oceano Advisory Council meeting last week. We adopted rules of decorum and considered two more vacation rentals and a two new three-bedroom apartment residential units on Cienega Street, and started talking about possibly endorsing staff recommendations or supporting staff recommendations on the operation of the ODSBRA, Coastal Commission staff recommendations. But that got tabled for further consideration at the next meeting. That's about it.
Okay, thank you. Director Mark?
Nothing.
Okay. We had a special meeting of the sanitation, South County Sanitation District to sign the contract with the project labor agreement. So that was passed, and we're using a project labor contract to do the redundancy project. So we're going to be moving on forward with that. And that's all for that. Is there any public comment on special presentations and reports? Seeing none, we'll move on to the consent agenda, which is the review and approval of cash disbursements. So we do have you.
Just the addendum that was sent over, yeah, with the payroll included.
So if we can get a motion, it will include the addendum.
I make a motion that we approve the consent agenda as amended.
Second.
Oh, yes. Is there any public comment on the consent agenda? None. We have a motion to approve it and a second. Can we have a roll call, please?
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Director Colvin?
Yes.
President Austin?
Yes. Okay. We'll go on to our business items. So our first business item is item 9A, and that is a presentation on a proposed ordinance of the San Luis Obispo County Integrated Waste Management Authority to ban polystyrene and to provide direction on comments as deemed appropriate by the board. So we do have a presentation tonight. We'll have the presentation, and then I do have some public comment requests, so we'll do that after the presentation.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm Brooke Stair, and with me is Patty Toews. She's our program director. Thanks for having us tonight.
Thank you.
I just want to give you a little bit of information on the background of IWMA, what we actually do.
He's got to hit the light so we can see better. There we go. That's better. Thank you.
We're a JPA formed in 1994, and we represent the county and the seven cities therein and 10 special districts. And basically, we're responsible for the compliance with the state's diversion goals. But we also assist and advise, and we are here to help everyone as much as possible with solid waste issues. And what drives everything we do is, of course, the major regulatory milestones. And so these are just a few. There's probably roughly 100 that are out there. These are the ones you might have heard of before. And so we're responsible for the countywide waste management plans, reporting and monitoring, HHW programs. We keep track of the legislature for the board, and we help with recycling and occasionally pass ordinances. And so, like I said, we represent everyone, so we're kind of in the middle, helping the business community, the citizens, the haulers, and then, of course, we operate in the real world, so there are real forces of economics, the politics, limitations with technology, and the environment. So we currently have 8 other ordinances that the IWMA has passed. And so what we're really talking about is change. And so don't be afraid of it. The main thing we're pushing is that this is a behavior change for most people. And the idea is not really that we're banning polystyrene, but that we're changing behavior when you go out and engage in most of your daily practices. So here's what drove all of the polystyrene issue. So how do you unscramble an omelet? And so this is the actual materials recovery facility south of SLO, Cold Canyon, and that's the material, recyclable material, as it comes in from your blue bin collection. And so it's got to be segregated through this giant machine, and couldn't get a good picture on the top, but I had one from a facility in the Bay Area, and you see all these different conveyors and machines and technologies that sort the material. So what you're trying to get with is a bale of something that you can send to somebody so that it actually goes to a middleman and then actually becomes a new product. So we don't actually recycle, we're just the sorting and processing portion. And so here's what we really want, bales of similar material. So example, our best commodities are cardboard, aluminum, and plastics 1 and 2. And so plastic 1 is the most common water bottles that you see every day. And then 2 is, again, the things that you buy at home. They usually have a neck, but they're the typical detergent bottles and things. So those are really good, clean commodities, easy to segregate, and we don't want things in there that prevent us from recycling those materials. So here's the problem. Almost everything you buy, especially the plastic items, are going to have these numbers 1 through 7 on the bottom with the little recycling chasing arrows symbol on there. But that number 1 through 7 just indicates the type of resin. It doesn't mean it's necessarily recyclable. In fact, most of them aren't. And this is what contamination looks like. Now, this is everything, not just the polystyrene, but this is what shows up in the recyclables. And so plastics 3 through 7 result in contamination, and we don't want those. And this is another one that we don't want. I just threw this in there so that you have a reference point. The plastic bags, they're really bad for the machinery to be able to sort the material that we do want. So take those to the grocery stores if you can. So we're talking about plastic number 6, and it's expanded polystyrene or polystyrene. You think of it as just styrofoam, but there's a clear version also. And there's just a few examples, and that's what it looks like. You see this stuff every day. The problem with it is in the recycling process, it is a contaminant, and in that process, in the landfill and in the nature, litter, it never breaks down. It just breaks up into smaller pieces. And so it's a product we really don't want. And so there are 120 ordinances in California going back to 1998. A lot of states have already started doing it as well, and there are 5 local ordinances already in existence in SLO County. So the board last month gave us the directive to use the City of SLO's ordinance as a model or the template and then expand from there. So just to give you a brief summary of it, it's disposable polystyrene products, and you can replace them with biodegradable, compostable, or recyclable items. And it exempts, in other words, it does not include stuff that comes from outside the city and meat trays and fully encapsulated products like your thermos or coolers, construction materials, and if there's an emergency situation. And then in addition to that, if you can show that you have a hardship or there are no alternatives, it's not affordable, or it's a health or safety issue, you can apply for an exemption and get a year at a time. And they do have fines associated with it. It's $200 up to $1,000, but I believe there is another segment that says if you're a nuisance, there's an abatement order, which I understand would be to close your doors. So the board told us to use that as the basis and then include or add to it meat trays, egg cartons, clear polystyrene, which are the clamshell containers, marine devices, and they said, if it's from a retailer, we don't want it either. In other words, the Lipton cup of soup or those type of products, We want the retailer to get those off the shelf and replace it with something else. The only thing that's exempt is items that would be delivered to your home, for example, Amazon, and you get shipping, and it comes surrounded by the styrofoam container. That's what they chose to exempt. Now, I remind you, this is not passed. This is just as a draft at this point. And so here's the containers, the meat trays. Those are the marine buoys, egg cartons, coolers, and that's the clamshell container that we're talking about. That's a clear polystyrene. It just doesn't have the air injected into it, so it doesn't look like foam. And again, the board will hear this in 2 weeks. So change is good. So what we really want you to do is look for alternative products as reusable. So what we are trying to encourage the public to do is bring containers when they go out to eat or when they're doing their shopping, just like you do with the bags at grocery stores. And the thing that aligns up really well is AB 619, the governor signed the law that says that restaurants and food service places that are preparing food and serving it do have to allow you to bring your own container, and they have to serve it in your container. So they don't even have to put it in that any container that's disposable. You can bring your own containers. But if not, the alternatives would be aluminum, glass, and paper products versus the polystyrene. And that's it. Are there any questions? And did I miss anything, Patty?
Questions. I know lots of questions. You want to start something?
I loved it. When? How soon?
We have 6 months from whenever the draft is adopted, but I think there will be some dialogue, and my guess would be 6 months to 12 months would be the implementation period, and then the exemptions are set at a year at a time right now.
So would the 6 months give restaurants and stuff some time to use?
If it would not be enough, then they could say that's a hardship and submit an exemption clause saying that they'd like enough time to be able to sell the inventory that they have and transition. And we understand there are some processes. They have an automated machine that fills the container, so it's not just the container. They've got to get a new machine. And so that's, again, the reason for the exemptions, to be able to add time for those.
I just have one more question. I was thinking when you were talking. So the substitute products that they're going to be using, the paper and the aluminum, they're around the same price, aren't they? Are they
very close? We're thinking 1.5 cents per container.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned penalties. Now, would that be to restaurants, or who would be penalized for?
It would be restaurants and the retailers. Business, the grocery store itself, because City of Slows is focused more on prepared food. So if you go to a restaurant or a fast food place, and this ordinance is being expanded to include items that are prepared outside the county, they're ready to go and picked up. So a Lipton cup of soup or ramen noodles or something that you have the container there and you peel off the top and heat it up, and it's polystyrene, they're going to say that needs to be a different product. But one thing I didn't put in here we've got to add is that large metropolitan areas like San Francisco have passed this, and there are alternatives to even those large products that are on the shelves.
And do you give warnings, and how many people have actually been penalized?
To our knowledge, the other 8 ordinances that have been implemented, there's never been a penalty. People generally just comply, and we give them time. And these are one of those things that I think there are a lot of alternatives. It's not hugely expensive for most people, and then the exemptions provide a way out for the ones that are really impacted.
Thank you.
Then, yes, ma'am. Then you're saying that you're going to tell the retail grocery stores not to sell, like, styrofoam cups or styrofoam plates? Mm-hmm.
So they would. Correct.
Wow, you're taking it that far, like.
Well, the board has to vote on that, but that's the directive we were given in July.
And then I have another question. Does the Oceana Community Service District, and this might go to Mr. Maraschino, do anything where we deal in these commodities, other than maybe in the coffee room? But, I mean, is there any of our stuff that's got styrofoam in it? Maybe delivering stuff.
Does this affect the Oceana?
Does it affect us directly, not just our community?
Correct. Very few products are delivered with styrofoam. We usually deal with bigger, bulkier, or heavier items that are delivered on a pallet.
Okay. Yeah, but it certainly would impact our grocery stores. I mean, our food service people.
The plastic water bottles pictured here, are those two?
Those are number ones.
So those are not in the...
Oh, no, those are, we're talking about...
Part of the ban.
Yeah, the resin code sixes, the six on the bottom. So one, that's the only item that we're including in the ban. We want the ones and twos.
Water bottles are okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're made of PET and HDPE, not...
Oh, I'm so you're saying the water bottles are not...
They're not banned.
Not banned. Okay.
Correct. I'm sorry. And,
okay, so then the resin codes, and you say that doesn't necessarily mean it's recyclable.
Correct.
But I always thought that if it had that code, it was recyclable, but that doesn't necessarily
mean... You've never seen in the entire United States. That's been the problem, is that we've educated people by telling them it has that little chasing arrow thing.
Right.
It's all recyclable, and it's not. The industry has done itself a disservice. The ones and twos are really recyclable, and everything else is pretty much a contamination.
Because I always look, and if it says that, then but I know better on styrofoam.
Yeah.
And like things that are shipped, like when your TVs and things that come, there's nothing we can do about that.
Right.
There's nothing new they can...
There are a lot of alternatives, but I don't think it's something we can tackle on, I think, the board.
Right. So the main thing we can tackle here in the county is just stores and restaurants and get that going there.
Okay, are there any other questions?
I just want to thank you for coming and presenting on this. This is a very important ordinance to our community. Having participated in many beach cleanups, I've seen those tiny, tiny little bits of styrofoam from some plate that's been left out for years and just fragmented, and it's harmful for wildlife that mistakes it for food, and it's definitely the time has come to get rid of those sorts of products that are so damaging to our environment and cannot be recycled. And there are alternatives, so time to get rid of those, and thank you.
No problem. If you ever want us to come back, please let us know. We'd be glad to help.
Absolutely.
Perhaps when I believe there's another study session coming up to talk about other types of single-use plastics. So perhaps after that, if there's another ordinance forthcoming, it'd be a good time.
Be glad to.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the board? One more? Yeah.
This will cover all of San Luis Obispo. Nothing, no exceptions.
It's a level playing field.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'll open it now to public comment. I have two slips. Chelsea Potter.
Hi. My name's Chelsea Potter. I'm the chair of the Rise Above Plastics Initiative for Slow Surfrider Foundation, and I'm a local healthcare professional. Bring this down, sorry. I'm here today to urge you to support the proposed ordinance that would ban the use of polystyrene in Slo County, expanded and rigid, as well as other single-use plastic products eventually, hopefully, with a study session on that eventually coming up. Plastic is a design flaw. It's made from a non-renewable resource. It either can't or won't be recycled, as we've talked about. It's estimated over nearly 500 pounds of plastic into the ocean every second. And these plastics take decades to finally break down into these smaller pieces that we're talking about called microplastics. And I wanted to reference a somewhat local study in Monterey Bay. Microplastics the size of 5 millimeters or less were found at all depths measured. And the results of this study reconfirm that plastic micropollution is widespread, and it's a problem right here on our coastline, and we need to do something about it. And like Cynthia said, it's not only detrimental to the health of wildlife, we need to consider this from a public health perspective. These microplastics are pervasive in ocean food webs, so this means fish mistake these microplastics for food. These harmful chemicals associated with most plastics are concentrated and spread throughout the food chain, which humans are a part of. Microplastics are also being measured in fresh water sources and even the air we breathe. Sorry, am I too close? Sorry, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Sorry. I probably don't need this. Polystyrene specifically is very buoyant, and it makes its way into our waterways very easily. So that's definitely something to consider when thinking of supporting this ban. In both human and animal studies, exposure to different types of plastics have been associated with certain cancers, hormonal disruptions, nervous system disorders, and other serious health problems. Adipose tissue studies by the EPA have shown accumulation of styrene in 100% of their samples, and another study later confirmed this same incidence. More research continues to be conducted to truly know the full impact of these plastics in human health. But again, we urge you to support the IWMA's proposal to ban polystyrene, since there are many suitable, healthier, and more environmentally friendly alternatives to this harmful material. It's time to change our ways. When we know better, we should do better.
Thank you. And we have Stephen.
Hello, I'm Stephen Potter. I'm a member of the community here. I'm here just to voice my support and urge you to support this as well. As someone in the community who cares about the issue and wants to see San Luis Obispo County make positive changes towards the environment, I shop here locally, I eat out at restaurants locally, I try to be conscious about the products that I buy and containers that I take away from restaurants. And I think it's an overall positive thing for anybody here in the community to be able to go out and make positive choices for the world, even without having to think about it or try to remember to bring your own container. It's nice that if it's just the default option at a restaurant or a store, that everybody in the community can do a good thing and help protect the environment. So I just urge you all to support the bill as well.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to comment? Do we need to consider a resolution or a letter or letter of support?
Madam President and directors of the board, I think at this point, this matter has not even gone for a first reading yet. It's set for a first reading of the ordinance, and so I would wait to make sure there's any changes. And if you're going to do a letter of support, I would suggest that you wait until the ordinance appears to be in a form that we know for sure is at least passes a first reading.
Thank you.
Well, yeah.
Keep it on the back burner then. Uh-huh. Keep up with it.
Right.
So we can bring this back at that point to discuss whether
yeah,
we'll
so
write a letter of support.
I think so.
Right, and the real issue is, I think that if you're going to make any sort of indication of support one way or another, you should have better handle of what it is that you're supporting, in case there's any changes or differing opinions at the IWMA. So we're just getting started on this. So.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate. I know we all do appreciate your presentation. And like, there are alternatives, and it's something I like to see keep working on. Okay,
class.
We'll move on to our next item. Is the recommendation to approve the final 2019-20 budget payment and compensation plan and job descriptions for the utility system manager and lead operator.
Thank you. Carrie, could you tilt that screen a little this way?
Oh, I thought I had it on there, but it's a handout, and it looks like this.
Oh, yeah, I've got
yeah,
that.
Yeah, sorry. I was going to put it on the screen as well.
Oh,
but,
we don't need it.
There's copies on the side. Is it on the side?
Yeah.
I couldn't find it on there.
Do we really have styrofoam cups over there on the coffee? The styrofoam?
What are these?
I can't tell from here.
Sustainable Forestry Initiative. It's paper, isn't it?
Sounds like paper.
Do you have to buy different kinds?
No, I think those are the paper ones. Those are the paper ones.
So the paper ones are lined with plastic, so that's not... It's not recyclable either.
They don't say anything. There's no recyclable thing.
just so you know, those are trash. Maybe we could get some mugs, reusable mugs.
Somebody has to wash them.
I can donate.
Somebody has to wash them after the meeting.
Wash your own.
Wash them.
Yeah, wash. You did it in the old days, right?
Yeah.
All these disposable.
I still do. I don't have disposable things.
Okay, are we ready to?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's my only slide, but.
Thank you, Carrie.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So please keep them.
We're going to go ahead with item 9B.
So
Carrie will give us the report.
President Austin, members of the board, 9A is the final budget for the fiscal year 19-20. This includes the compensation plan and the job description for the utility system manager and the lead operator. So those are included in the compensation plan, and these positions were included in the preliminary budget, but the jobs still needed to be approved by the union and confirmed, which they have been done so they are now included in your compensation plan. So this won't increase the position allocation list. The district will remain at four staff members in the utilities department. It will just... change the titles to lead and a utilities systems manager. So the preliminary budget was approved on June 26th. That established the revenues and expenditures plan for the year. The final budget that is in front of you today includes encumbrances and grants that will carry forward to the fiscal year. And it also includes the use of reserves based on the closeout of last year. So Exhibit A, which is on page 14, shows the ending reserves of last year as our beginning reserves, and based off the savings usage and of reserves in last year, the final budget attached includes the final balances as of June 30th, 2020. So the graph on the screen, and it's also a handout, shows an 8-year historical analysis of the district's reserves. So the top left hand is the general fund, and this is showing a decrease based off the increase in Five Cities fire costs for the past 2 years. Then we have the water up on the right hand corner. The water funds decrease, that's from a couple of factors. The first one is the revenue shortfall from the communities continue to conserve even after the drought. The second is the increase in state water costs. The third is the change in the administrative allocation. Not this year, but the year before, we increased cost to the water fund and decreased cost to the wastewater fund. This better reflects the work that is performed and spent on water services besides sewer services. The fourth factor contributing to the decrease in reserve are the county mandated projects. So last year there was the Air Park Drive Bridge. This year there will be the drainage project. I'm just giving a summary of why the water, and it's okay. Included in your staff report on page 10 of 84. We kind of have them all listed out there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Air Park Drive was the bridge last year. This year is the drainage project, and then the year before was the emergency project with the lagoon, also contributed to the decrease. And then, as you can see on the bottom half, we have wastewater and garbage. and that also includes the equipment fund, and all of those have continued, the reserves have continued to increase for the past 8 years. So with the reserves established this year, it's very important to have that, and it's clear that we need to continue to pursue grants in all funds, and next year we need to consider a detailed analysis of the water fund and pursue increasing rates to support the increasing cost that has been associated with that water fund. And with that, that is the summary of this final budget, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, does anyone here on the board have questions?
Yeah, so besides the water fund reserves, what else is different, or is there anything else different from the preliminary budget?
No, so I would say we, revenues and expenditures, those are all established there. We have the encumbrances from last year included, and then we have just established the beginning reserves and what we predict the ending reserves will be at June 30, 2020. So that's mostly, that's our final budget, what we were waiting to do, yeah. And we just want to wait till the closeout of 19 before we start on the this one here to have a better idea.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Have any questions for you?
Can we talk about the utility systems manager, or are we just sticking to the numbers?
It's a part of the agenda title, so you're, yeah.
So did you say that we're not adding personnel, we're just changing some of the job titles?
Yeah, it will remain at 4 people total in the utility staff.
So Tony Maraschino, he's field supervisor, so he becomes utility systems manager?
They have, yeah, so that would, and then the lead operator will need to be applied to within, not without.
Okay, so yeah. So those changes don't really change the budget then?
No, in your preliminary budget, we had put contingencies in the water fund, sewer fund, and garbage fund for the increases, so we would be accounted for already. We just didn't have the job descriptions approved by the union, and now we have those in front of you. So
what's the timeline on those changes?
You mean
for the job titles?
Oh, we'll have to review who applies for the lead, and I would say within whoever wants it would probably apply immediately, and then it would be implemented. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Anything else? Is there any public comment on this item?
Well, I just had a couple things on the descriptions for the positions. The first one, utility systems manager. Distinguishing characteristics around the middle, it talks about records related to man hours expended. Could we use gender neutral language and say staff hours? Mm-hmm. And then I was just wondering in the environmental conditions section if you need to include confined spaces in there. Is that considered environmental conditions?
That I'm not sure about. That wasn't changed from the old.
Okay.
But I can review it, and I don't know if that's substantial enough to put in front of the union, but I will. I don't.
Under environmental, under working conditions, it says environmental conditions.
Page 58,
and also on the second one, on
page 62.
There's environmental conditions.
62.
I don't know. Maybe it doesn't need to be there. I just was wondering because I went down in the drywall, and I know the guys have confined spaces training, so it seemed like that might be something to include.
Isn't that just exposure to hazardous condition? Wouldn't that cover it?
I'm sorry. Just so I can track, what was your? You had requested addition, or was it a?
Yeah, I was just wondering if confined spaces need to be listed in there somewhere. Maybe not.
I would defer to Tony Maraschino and see if that is something that they deal with on a regular basis.
So
So confined space, good evening, Tony Maricino. Confined space is a hazardous condition that we deal with, just like the environment. If it's raining, thunderstorms, we still deal with hazardous conditions. I don't believe it has to be specified, but we are all trained. If you'd like to have it specified, I'd have no problems agreeing with that.
No, I'm just raising it. I just
believe that hazardous conditions covers every aspect of what we deal with heat, rain, floods, weather, wind, anything like that. You got to have protective gear, whether it's rain gear, jackets, covers.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Tony. I don't think on page 62 on the second job description under environmental conditions you have other hazardous conditions. I don't think it's spelled out at all in the second. I'm just.
Yeah, they are different between the two.
Totally different. I think it does need to be spelled out in the second one.
That's a change we can make, and I can send it back. It doesn't seem like it would be an issue.
Yeah, if everyone agrees, I think that's a good change to make. Just add it, it doesn't hurt anything. It could be fine.
I don't think it would need to be a meet and confer.
No.
Item.
I'm not sure.
To add in.
Hazardous.
I think that's.
Not substantial.
I think that's an unsubstantial change.
Yeah.
Oh, and then on 62 also, there's just a typo. Mm-hmm. Possession of or ability to obtain an appropriate valid grade T2.
Okay. Thank you.
That's all I had.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Then is there any public comment on this item? Okay, seeing none. Then we are going to have a vote to approve the final 2019-20, consider the recommendations to approve the budget, payment compensation plan, and job descriptions. Anybody want to make a motion?
I think a motion could be just to a motion to approve staff recommendation, maybe the cleanest.
Okay.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, may we have a roll call, please?
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Director Opoglu?
Yes.
President Austin?
Yes. Okay, great. Now we'll move on to the recommendation to approve the proposal and professional services agreement with GSI Water Solutions to prepare the 2019 annual report for the Northern Cities Management Area. The amount of $39,479 plus contingencies, making a contract total of $43,016. So I don't, does anyone have any questions, or are you going to introduce anything?
No, President Austin, I would like to just point out to you, following a discussion with Director Replogle this morning, looking at the actual contract itself, the agreement, if you look to Article 10, this is on page 78 of 84, a suggestion for the addition at the very end of the non-discrimination, that the consultant will comply with all state and federal non-discrimination laws. To have that added.
Just
in
have it add to the end. The
to
consultant.
Add to the end of that last sentence to be as inclusive as.
Of any employer applicant for employment in.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Good catch. Well, I don't think we have too much choice, do we, on approving this?
No, I think the the director's concern is that. Their times have changed, and there's all sorts of. It's an expanding.
Just
no, I meant
law.
I meant the document in toto.
Yes.
The actual
the actual, I mean, we're kind of required by the courts to approve it in.
I think we're required, but I just had a general concern about, does this really need to be done every year? Because it's $187,000 to the consultants every year, and I've got to think that a lot of this stuff doesn't change much from year to year, so.
What is the reason? Do we know why it's every single year? Is there a law?
I just wonder if we could, at some point, the court could be asked, you know, is it really necessary to spend all this money every year? You know, it's we're paying just a share of it, but it's still, we're not a rich district.
Isn't it about compliance, though, and?
Madam President, directors of the board, the preparation of the annual reports is a requirement under the stipulation and the judgment. And so whether or not there is a time to relook at how the basin is managed in a whole, I think things are moving in the groundwater adjudication, and that time may come, but at this point we have an obligation to continue to comply with the stipulation and judgment.
So, any other comment from the board? I'll open it to public comment. Are there any public comment? Seeing none.
And it would. So the motion would be to approve the proposal professional services agreement as amended.
As amended.
I so move.
Second.
Moved and seconded. May we have a roll call?
Vice President White.
Yes.
Director Gibson.
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Director Polvo?
Yes.
President Winston?
Yes. Okay. Now, a fun one Cool Earth recommendation to authorize the president to execute an agreement with One Cool Earth Corporation to provide $9,980 in funding to support the Earth Genius educational program at the Oceano Elementary School. So this is, they've come and given us reports before, and they would do that if we wanted to, but
I think I would like to see a report at least like once a year, see what they're doing.
We can put it off till next time if you'd like them to come give a report. We can approve it now and they can come.
I don't think we need to put it off. I'd just like to see what they're doing.
I like hearing what they're
doing. I know they're doing good stuff, but it would be good to see.
Yeah, and I'd like to see how many kids at the school participate in it.
Yeah.
All
it's
of them.
It's a really neat. Okay, so is there any public comment on this item? Okay, seeing none. Then let's just, we'll go ahead and vote on this, and then we will make a note to contact them and ask if they would like to come at another future meeting and give an update on the program.
Make a motion we approve the funding in support of Earth Genius educational programs at Oceana School in the amount of $9,980.
Second.
Okay, moved and seconded. Can we get a roll call, please?
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Opelman?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
President Olson?
Yes.
Hope to see a couple radishes, maybe. They could bring us some radishes. That's what they always grow because they're so quick.
I know. Remember in school, radishes and nasturtiums? We used to grow those in kindergarten.
Never failed crops.
I don't think we have any. There's no hearing items and no written communications. Is there anybody on the board have any comments for anything before?
I just have an announcement. National Coastal Cleanup Day is coming up. So in Slo County, it's called Creeks to Coast Cleanup, and that's on September 21st from 9 a.m. to noon. So the Oceano Beach Community Association will be cleaning up at Oceano Lagoon, and Surfrider San Luis Obispo will be at the end of Grand Avenue and Grover Beach on the beach there. And I believe there are 50 sites around the county. So if you want to come out and get involved and help clean up our creeks and coast, that would be great. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
You can go to ecoslow.org, ecoslow.org, for more information.
They have sites all over the county. You can participate. It's always fun. Okay, with that, I think we can, if anyone has nothing else, if there's no other public comment or anybody want to say anything, then we can make a motion to adjourn.
I so move.
Second.
They moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, we're adjourned. Thank you very much. Thanks for coming.
It's only 7:30.
Wow, it's a new record.